Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Your penalty is paid. Grace and peace be to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For your penalty is paid, and you have received double for all your sins, double of God's mercy. And as a result, you too can speak with tenderness, even in a time of fear. For your sins and your hurt are taken from you this Advent, in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, we have made it to the last month of 2020. Can you believe it? A little cheer, perhaps, for that. And December, of course, for many means Christmas is coming, as we have heard already this morning. And why wouldn't it mean this? For we who have come to expect Christmas as a magical time of family and friends and singing and presents and parties, all great things. And for us in the church, we who are born in faith, the season before Advent, before Christmas, is Advent, and while it may traditionally strike a more contemplative tone, the pre-Christmas excitement is hard to deny. Here in the sanctuary, the blue Advent paraments are up on the wall. The Advent wreath counts down the weeks till Christmas. Brock has put up 5 Christmas trees behind the altar, and we have this beautiful backdrop anticipating the miraculous birth that happened 2,000 years ago in a little stable in Bethlehem. We have a lot to anticipate. Both Isaiah and John the Baptist cry out in today's scripture, our Advent direction, prepare the way of the Lord. In fact, that's how we started singing in our service this morning. Prepare the royal highway. Now, our culture, outside of the church, and probably in it in many ways too, has tried to take hold of parts of this preparation as well. You likely know that our local FM Christmas radio station has been playing the saccharine holiday hits since the beginning of November. And shopping, even in the midst of a pandemic, is in full swing. And pre-Christmas traditions abound, don't they? One of those traditions for me and the adults in our family is to watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation the Friday after Thanksgiving. Now, this is not a children's movie, mind you, but it is a classic film that portrays Clark Griswold, played by Chevy Chase, doing his very best to prepare his house and family for the best old-fashioned family Christmas that they've ever had. Starting with the annual trek to cut their Christmas tree and ending with the Chicago SWAT team interrupting their Christmas dinner, the Griswolds and their extended family fumble their way through Advent, with days even being counted on an Advent calendar in this movie. For Clark Griswold, it is all about gathering family together, putting up as many lights as humanly possible outside of his house, and surprising the whole family with his plans to use his Christmas bonus to build a swimming pool in their backyard. Now, it's a silly movie, as you who have seen it know, full of slapstick humor, but I love it because I relate to Clark. This story shamelessly portrays the desire we often share, not just to put up Christmas lights and a Christmas tree, but to get back to the basics of family time and the holidays. Now, these things are great things. I love them, too. But when we put all of our hope in these things, we miss the mark. And this movie is also helpful in this way because it shows that family life isn't actually always so simple. And the pressures of our very high expectations of Christmas gatherings often get the best of us. Prepare the way. So what does this mean when we hear from the prophet Isaiah and John the Baptist, prepare the way of the Lord? What does this mean for us? What does it mean to be prepared, and prepare for what? Isaiah goes on to describe how this will happen. He says, a voice cries out in the wilderness to make straight God's highway in the desert. So there is a sense of justice, of straightness. The high places will be brought down and the low places be brought up. Prepare, the prophets say, for then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all the people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It sure sounds like the preparation for Christ's coming into the world. But how in the world can we straighten highways and lower mountains and raise up valleys? That sounds a lot harder than Christmas lights and trees. Isaiah also appears a bit confused by the enormity of this Adventian task, and he asks, along with John, well, what shall I cry? What can I say, Lord, for this to happen? And God says, for our people are like grass, like the flowers of the field, here today and gone tomorrow. And whether you see this truth in the frailty of the human condition, which we certainly see these days, whether you see this frailty in a holiday movie or in the real life, a year accentuated by a virus and fears of sickness and death, we would all agree that life is fragile and we are imperfect, which makes these calls to prepare even more challenging and perplexing. Except that the word of God will stand forever. The grass withers and the flower fades, Isaiah says, but the word of God will stand forever. And this word now has something to say about you. And not just something to say about you, but it actually forms you. It situates you. So the Lord tells Isaiah and John how to prepare the people for Advent, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. He says, get you to a high mountain and lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. For the Lord comes with might, and he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather his lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. So here is your Advent message. And I can't help but notice some similarities here. When you are on a ladder putting up lights or even ornaments on a Christmas tree, it may look like you're getting you up to a high place, as Isaiah says. And when you are dreaming, perhaps like Clark Griswold, of a good old-fashioned family Christmas, your desire sounds very much like this promise of God gathering his lambs together in one place, feeding his flock like a shepherd. There is a reason that we love this season and hold on to many of these beloved traditions. But now I want to free you from their imperfections and misplaced hope when they end in the tradition. And I want to show you that they are all fulfilled, these traditions. They are actually fulfilled in one place, in the forgiveness of your sins in Jesus Christ. So we get up to a high place and share this word with the world. In this season, in this year, where our family gatherings and plans may not be the way that we had hoped, know now that Advent and Christmas do not depend on your preparations or traditions, as beloved as they are, but only on the coming of Jesus Christ and his word. Only in Christ's coming will you find the fulfillment of true joy and freedom. Mark tells us that John the Baptist came to prepare the people by sharing God's word, by proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And so now, people of God, in the name of Christ, you are repented of your sins and you are forgiven. Here is the word of God, a word in a world full of frailty and fear. This word for your sake stands forever. Through it, your sin and your death and the devil himself has been defeated. And while we wait to celebrate the birth of this one Savior, Jesus Christ, with great anticipation and joy and warmth. This Advent, we also wait for his second coming, for he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And his judgment for you is this, that you sinners are forgiven, and you are gathered now together for the feast that is to come, where we will eat better than ever before, in perfect company, and worship the one Jesus Christ, whose light shines brighter than any Christmas lights on our house. Amen.